This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. A promising treatment for those suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. A landmark study shows for the first time that a known pain treatment can also be used to combat the symptoms of PTSD. The treatment is called a stellate ganglion block, or SGB, and it uses a local anesthetic on a bundle of nerves in the neck. SGB has been used for decades to treat pain, but this new research from RTI International shows the treatment led to a clinically significant reduction in PTSD symptoms. Christine Ray Olmsted is one of the study's primary investigators and a behavioral epidemiologist at RTI International and joins me now. Christine, welcome.
Delighted to be here. Thank you.
Good to have you. So, well, let's talk about the place where this is going to work in the body, the stellate ganglion. Talk about that and then what that block is.
The stellate ganglion is a bunch of nerves and nerve bundles in the neck, kind of right above your collarbone off to the side. And it's, you can think of it as a train station, if you will, where there's a bunch of different tracks coming in and going out to various parts of the body. And so it's really a train station that has a big impact on what's called the sympathetic nervous system, which most people think of as what's called the fight or flight nervous system.
All right, so there it is. And this block, tell us how this treatment, as we say, has been used for, I think, close to 100 years now.
Correct,
right?
That's right.
How does that work?
You know, it's interesting. Nobody knows exactly how it works. The current thinking is that it has to do with the sprouting of certain types of neurons, brain system cells, and some of the neurotransmitters that those neurons are receptive to. Somehow the block is thought to kind of stop that cascade in its tracks and reset the system, but nobody knows for sure.
And how does it work? If I went in for this procedure for pain, what would happen and what would I be getting? What's the medicine?
The medication, there's a couple of different medications. One is called bupivacaine and there's another one called ropivacaine. They're very similar in many regards to the Novocaine that you would get at a dentist's office for a quick procedure. It wears off in 4 to 6 hours. You go in, you're in your street clothes generally. There's no gowning up. It's not a surgical procedure. You lie down on a table and the doctor, after having a conversation with you about what to expect, of course, prepares the area, sterilizes everything. There's a little bit of a local anesthetic that's brought into the area through injection. And then the needle is placed via either ultrasound or usually by ultrasound, mm-hmm. So that the doctor can see where the needle is going to make sure it goes to the exact place that it's supposed to go to. And it's the procedure itself takes less than 5 minutes. It's remarkably quick. The person is generally watched for about 20 minutes afterwards to make sure there are no complications. And then they're sent on their way with a driver. They have to have somebody to drive them.
Any particular kind of pain that this was used for?
It's typically used for a condition called chronic regional pain syndrome, which typically happens in the arm, the face. It's also been used for hot flashes in a couple of instances and a couple of other conditions as well.
All right. So how did anyone make the connection between a Novocaine-like substance that works on the nerves to deaden pain to PTSD?
It's a fascinating story. In the early 1990s, there was a case report in the literature of a woman who received multiple gunshot wounds, and perhaps not surprisingly, she ended up with chronic regional pain syndrome as well as PTSD. She had a series of stellate ganglion blocks, and her pain syndrome got better, but lo and behold, so also did her PTSD. So fast forward towards the early 2000s, a gentleman by the name of Dr. Eugene Lipov and a couple of others started looking at this procedure as a treatment for PTSD itself.
All right. So tell us about your test, what you did and what it proved or what it demonstrated. At least
our research study looked at service members, active duty service members at 3 military installations, Womack Army Medical Center at Fort Bragg here in North Carolina, Tripler in Honolulu, and Landstuhl in Germany. And we enrolled participants that had a particular score or greater on one of the assessments that's used, the PCL. We randomized people to either the active treatment, i.e. the stellate ganglion block, or what's called a sham procedure, which is in just about every way possible the same. People think of it as like a placebo. Mm-hmm. And we followed them for 8 weeks. We took assessments from them. They got the treatment at 0 weeks and 2 weeks. We followed them every 2 weeks out to 8 weeks, gave them a host of assessments ranging from PTSD symptoms to pain, to substance use, to depression, to anxiety, to mental functioning. And at the end, we administered what's called the CAPS, the clinician-administered PTSD scale, which is like a gold standard assessment administered by a credentialed provider. And the test scores from before the treatment to after the treatment showed that not only did the people in the active SGB group get significantly better, they got better than the people in the sham group did. So not only did they get better in terms of their own symptoms, but comparatively speaking, they got better than the sham.
All right, and talk about these symptoms. What are we looking at, and how did people get better?
The symptoms, there are four primary clusters of symptoms. The first is intrusion or re-experiencing. This is the flashbacks that you hear of veterans very frequently having. There's a criterion of symptoms called avoidance, where people try to avoid thoughts or feelings or the actual place where the incident happened. Negative alterations in cognitions and mood, which is people trying to, people end up thinking about having a short history. They start thinking that they're worthless. They start thinking that they have no future. And then finally, arousal. This is the heightened startle response that you very frequently see in some people. One of the things that we looked at in our study was each of these individual symptom clusters. And we haven't done that analysis yet, but it's pretty easy to see just by eyeballing the data that it's primarily the arousal symptoms that are being ameliorated by the SGB, which makes sense because of the work that the stellate ganglion does on the sympathetic nervous system.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going to get to next is, I know this is, we're in the first phases of this research now, but what are some of our guests, what do you speculate is happening here? How is it working?
We speculate that somehow the treatment is working to reset this fight or flight nervous system. We don't know how yet. It's a little frustrating. We don't know yet how it works. We just know that it does.
And when it's used for pain treatment, do you come back often? Does it work just once? I mean, how many times do you have to be treated, or are you sort of chronically, you know, treated for the rest of your life? How does it work?
Yeah, many people are treated a single time and then they're better. This goes for PTSD as well. Many people are treated a single time and then they're better, and they never need to come back. Other people need to come back, say, once a month, or some people feel better for a month and then they get another treatment and they feel better for a little bit longer, so they can put off that next treatment until a little bit later date. Everybody is different, and that's one of the things that we need to study next in our upcoming research.
What are some of the side effects?
That's an excellent question. The side effects are primarily what's called a Horner syndrome. It's a droopy eye on the side of the block, which is for traditional SGB on the right side. A droopy eye, changes in the pupil, and a red eye. That's a known side effect. It basically means that the doctor hit the right spot. It wears off just like Novocaine does at the dentist's office after 4 to 6 hours. Other potential side effects can be things like a little bit of sniffling, feeling like there's a thickness in the throat. Like one person described it as feeling like she tried to swallow a pill and it didn't quite completely go down.
You say you focused on active duty military, but you point out that it wasn't all military service that may have led to the PTSD.
Absolutely. Stellate ganglion block has been used successfully in survivors of all types of trauma. We did not specify that people in our study had to have military-related trauma. We took all comers, as it were. So arguably, in our sample, there were people who suffered from sexual assault, car accidents, witnessing traumatic exposures, you name it. But it doesn't have to be combat trauma specifically.
Is there a risk of addiction with this kind of a treatment?
There is not. The type of medication, as I mentioned, is a short-acting medication, just like the Novocaine at a dentist's office. And it's not addictive to the best of my knowledge.
So again, I'm gonna blunder into this in my own lay way, and you feel free to correct me any way you can, but I'm imagining this system that has been activated now by the trauma, and it just keeps, it stays on. It won't turn off.
That's right.
For good reason. We don't want this to happen again, and I'm alert, alert, alert. Mm-hmm. And by interrupting that, by simply, I'm going to speculate again, by turning this off for a moment, we then say, okay, now you have to have a new trauma to reactivate this. We're not going to let the old one do this.
I think that's a fair assessment. It's a good explanation of the turn of events, I think.
All right. And what's next for you in this research?
We have a study coming up that we are awaiting funding on, where we can look, observe people for up to a year, so as opposed to only 8 weeks. And we're going to look at things like long-term negative effects, any potential negative effects of the research, of the treatment, my mistake, and any kind of decrements in reaction time, things like that. We're also going to be able to better characterize symptom trajectory. Who gets better for how long?
Would there be a limit to how many treatments you could get with this kind of a medicine?
To date, there is no limit. Many people have received more than 10.
Wow. Yeah. Christine Ray Olmsted is a behavioral epidemiologist at RTI International and one of the lead researchers on the study we've been talking about. Christine, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks so much for having me.